Welcome, church. I'm so glad you guys are here this morning. I haven't had the privilege of meeting you yet. My name is Kylie, and I have the privilege of hanging out with our middle schoolers. So if you don't know yet, the best middle schoolers in the whole world are right here. The best high schoolers, the best young people in the whole world are right here in Grants Pass, and we are blessed enough to get to hang out with them. But also, they are on fire, young people. They are ready to reach our world for Jesus, and not just ready, but doing it right now. Our young people are not waiting till tomorrow. They're reaching the nations right now. They're reaching each other at their schools right now. They are empowered with the Holy Spirit. They are awesome. I am so appreciative to be able to speak to you this morning. But I'm also very appreciative to have some amazing pastors who aren't here with us this morning, but I'm grateful for them. This week, I was working in my Starbucks office. I had my headphones in. And since I'm with the middle school a lot of the times, I listen to the sermon from Sunday on Mondays. And so I'm in Starbucks listening to Pastor Jay speak. And since I had headphones in, I wasn't really paying attention to my face. But I was like hitting the table going, yeah, Pastor. And I was like, oh, that's good. Oh, yeah. And then I like see these older ladies staring at me like, is she okay? And I'm like, I'm good. It's a good word. It's a good word. We have an amazing ministry team here. And one of the things I want to share with you guys this morning is a little bit about our fine arts students. If you guys don't know, we have some amazing students here. And I want to talk to you guys why the heart of fine arts is so essential to raising up our young people to be ministers of the gospel today. The heart of fine arts. Fine arts is a discipleship tool used by the AG Youth, the Assemblies of God Youth Ministries, designed to help students discover, develop, and deploy their God-given gifts. So we help students learn, hey, what is that gift that God's placed in you, and how can we help develop it so that you can go and use it to reach your world? So the few of the avenues that we do that, we have times for students to prepare to discover their gifts at church and at home. We also have services in our church where they can use their gifts. You guys are going to get to see some of that this morning. We also do a regional and a national conference every year. And Parkway has been a participant of Fine Arts for many years. We actually have some people who have been going to Fine Arts for a long time. How about you guys raise your hands? Some of you guys who have been to Fine Arts at any point during your lifetime. Hey, look at that. We have a few here today. Fine Arts is an awesome tool, but it's just that. It's a tool to develop our young people. It's not the thing, but it's the thing that we do, and we are seeing young people develop their callings and use them for the kingdom of God. Our young people have a great call on their lives, amen? And an opportunity to reach their world right now, not tomorrow, right now. But they're not the only ones. They're not the only ones. Our young people are not the only ones who've been called and equipped to reach the world. It's you too. It's every single person that's given their life to Jesus, whether it was yesterday or if it was 45 years ago or longer, God has called you today. Our young people have a great call, but so do you. So whether you're 5 or 95, it's relevant and possible for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit to reach the nations. And as our pastor shared at the beginning of his message last week, in the words of Pastor Boy Powers, the good news is only good to those who hear it in time. It's time. It's time to share. Thank you for, I forgot to tell you. These are a few of our photos of our students from Fine Arts that have been going behind me. Man, it was a good weekend with them. So in a few moments, I'm going to invite one of our young ladies who shared a powerful word that you guys need to hear today too. But before I do, we need to get in an attitude of receiving this morning. I'm going to be honest, I really don't want to speak up here. This isn't the spot I want to be, but God has a word for us this morning that he wants you to hear. He wants you to know. And so, church, with that attitude, would you just, would you pray with me? And if you could, as a sign of surrender, would you open up your arms and just receive the word that God has this morning? God, I just ask right now, in the name of Jesus, right now, God, would you begin to move in this place? God, would you begin to soften hearts? God, I just pray for this calling, this boldness that we're going to be speaking about today. God, that it would infill each and every one of us. God, you have a call on our lives. God, you have a call to reach the city of Grants Pass. Every single person, there is no one exempt from the love of God. So God, I ask right now, God, would you infill us with boldness, but God, also give us ears to hear the word of God this morning. In your name, Lord, amen. Amen. I'm going to welcome up Ayla, and she's going to share your word.
Hi. Not nervous at all. So if you don't know me already, my name is Ayla. I'm a senior in high school. I go to GP. And so we went to Fine Arts, and it was a super impactful weekend. And the Lord has just given me a message that I wanted to share with you all today. But before I begin, I'd just like to pray us in. So, dear Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just come in this place, Lord, and that your presence would just dwell. Lord, I pray that you would just give me the words to speak, Lord God. And everything that I say, Lord God, just allow it to be directly from you. I pray that you would soften the hearts in this room to receive this word, Lord God. I pray that you would give them ears to hear and hearts to receive. In your name, amen. So I want to share a really crazy experience that I had this past September with you guys. So if you guys don't know, one of our youth traditions that we kind of do is every youth group or after youth group, we go to In-N-Out. And it's super fun. We hang out and stuff. And so there was this one night where I was driving home, and it was super late, and I was with my two younger siblings. And so we were driving home. And we're going past the courthouse, and all of a sudden, this man runs into the middle of the street. And he was screaming and yelling and stuff, and so we rolled down the window, and he was begging for someone to call 911 because his friend, who was lying on the sidewalk, had overdosed. And so my little brother, Dawson, who's sitting right there, he was in the car, and he starts begging me. He's like, "Let me get out. I can help this man. I know CPR. I know what to do. I can help him." And I was like, "Dude, you are 15 years old. It's late at night. This man, you know, was clearly on drugs. Like, I do not think this is a good idea." And if you know my brother Dawson, you know that he is incredibly stubborn. And so after some back and forth deliberation, I decided to allow him to get out of the car. So long story short, my brother gives this man CPR. And the paramedics arrive, and he was taken to the hospital, and he survived. So my brother had this, the skills and the information to save someone's life and the courage to take action. If you know Jesus, then you have the tools and the information to save someone's life. The question is, will you allow your fears to hold you back from the action that God wants you to take? So Moses is a great example of someone who alone had limitations to what he could accomplish. And because of this, it caused him to doubt his purpose and God's power. In the book of Exodus, God appears to Moses, and he calls him to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt. In Exodus chapter 4, Moses pleads with the Lord and gives him three different reasons to justify his unqualification. In Exodus chapter 4, 1, Moses asks God, "What if they don't believe that you appeared to me?" And the Lord responded by giving him a staff and the power to perform miracles to prove that God had appeared to Moses. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." In verses 11 through 12, the Lord said to Moses, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say." And in verse 13, Moses asked God for the final time to please send someone else, to which the Lord responded by calling Aaron, Moses' brother, to help him. So to us and to Moses, it seemed like he was unqualified. And the truth is that he was. Moses was unqualified. Moses was literally a murderer. He had a stutter and could not speak well. He didn't think that God could use him until God did. Moses led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, and God parted the seas. Moses led them into the wilderness, and God provided them with what they needed for survival. Moses alone was not equipped, but with God, miracles happened. So throughout Scripture, God uses very unqualified people, just like Moses, to do miraculous things. Matthew, the tax collector, was a social outcast. Mary Magdalene was demon-possessed and living in sexual sin. Jonah ran from God. Martha had anxiety. Peter the apostle had anger issues. Abraham was too old, and Timothy was too young. All of these people were unqualified in their own strength to fulfill what God had called them to. If you know Jesus, then he has called you to make his name known everywhere. He commands it in the Great Commission. He didn't say you should or you can go. He said to go, regardless of who you are or what you think you can do. Every generation represented in this place this morning has been anointed and called. And when God called our generations, he didn't call everyone except you. You are included in that. In your own strength, yes, there will be barriers and limits to what you can accomplish. But only because of the grace and mercy of God will he help you to do the things that you never believed you could do. When I was 14, the Lord called me to ministry. And for a really long time, I rejected that. Because truthfully, I was and still am very unqualified. And one night when I was 15, I was in my room during some prayer, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, if you allow your fears to cause you to doubt your purpose, then you are doubting my power. Give that to me. I'm here to tell you this morning that he can do the same for you. Our God is a God of redemption, and his love is transformative. He is more than willing and able to take you from the place that you are and lead you to where he knows you need to go. Regardless of who you are, what the world says about you, what your friends, what your family, whatever says about you, regardless of how old or young you are, regardless of your past, regardless of what you've done, none of that matters to him. All he asks us to do is lay that all down at his feet, because it is all about his power and his strength. It is not about you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ayla. That was a good word. Church, aren't you thankful that your calling is not dependent on your qualifications, your skill set, your confidence, or anything else, but it's truly only dependent on God? Like Ayla said, the one who gave humans their mouths, the one who makes them deaf or mute, the one who gives them sight or makes them blind, the Creator, our Savior, it's him. It's not about us. Each one of you in the pews today has been given a gift set. And many of you have had years and even decades to grow that skill set and develop what God has put in you, but have yet to boldly deploy your gift to be used to reach the world for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this morning, my encouragement, my challenge for you is to stop sitting on your gift and move it into a place that God can use it. If we want to reach our world, if we want to reach our Grants Pass, our home, we will have to be dependent on the boldness that only the Holy Spirit can bring. I'll say that again. If we want to reach our world, we will have to be dependent on the boldness that only the Holy Spirit can bring. This boldness, it's the boldness that was all over Peter and John in Acts 4:13, when what should have been ordinary men were recognized because they'd been with Jesus. It's the boldness that the believers prayed for in Acts 4:30. They said, Lord, grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand and heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. It's the kind of boldness Paul asks for to be prayed over him in Ephesians 6 and Colossians 4. As he's facing persecution, a literal ambassador in chains. It's this boldness to declare the word boldly as he was called to do, no matter his circumstance. The boldness we need, the boldness to use your gifts, your skills, your talents that God has given you and to answer the call will only come through prayer. Please hear that this morning. The calling that you have on your life, those things that God has given you, they will stay stagnant without prayer. It's through prayer that God takes those gifts and he anoints us to use them to reach our world. I want to read a passage to you this morning out of Luke 22, 54 through 62, if you'd like to get there and look it up. A little bit of context to this. In Luke 22, tensions are high, to say the least, and spirits are very low. Jesus has been arrested, and the center of the disciples' world for the last 3 years, their leader, the one who called them, their rabbi, their friend, has been arrested and taken to the high priest's house awaiting trial. Peter, alone and scared, in his own strength, bravely follows Jesus and sat in the courtyard, but lacked the courage, the boldness. Luke 22, 54 says this. They seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house, and Peter following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looked closely at him, said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And a little later, someone else saw him and said, you are also one of them. But Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, "Certainly, this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately, as he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the Lord saying, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. When the circumstances of life were overwhelming, Peter was anything but bold. He might have had courage in his own heart to go sit at the courtyard, but he did not have the boldness that only the Holy Spirit can bring. In his own strength, he failed. In his own strength, when danger came and arose, he walked away. He denied Jesus. But if you'll follow Peter's story a little bit longer, if you'll continue to read about what he's done, you'll find that through the reconciliation with Jesus and the empowerment and the infilling of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, that Peter had boldness, and not the kind of boldness that you can have in yourself, not the kind of boldness that you see as a personality trait, but the kind of boldness that can only come through the power of the Holy Spirit. This boldness was used to preach a word that reached 3,000 people. This boldness led to many people's salvation in the revival of nations. This boldness that could only come through the empowerment of the Spirit. It can be a bit of a gut punch to the American church when we compare our lives now to the lives of people like Peter. But the truth is, church, that boldness can only come through prayer and an empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Peter wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit when he began his ministry. The boldness we need, the boldness to use our gifts, our skills, our talents, those things that God has placed in us, that to answer the call will only come through prayer and an empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I was recently listening to a testimony. Anybody else like would listen to testimonies on YouTube all day long. Anyone else do that? Yes. Oh my goodness. I love doing that. I'll just play it all day long. I'll just listen to people tell their stories. And I was recently listening to the testimony from a man named Todd White. He's an American evangelist, and he's widely known for his testimony of turning from drug addiction and suicide to Jesus. He is also known for his courageous street evangelism. And he told this story. So while he was at a hotel during a ministry time, he was in an elevator, and a young man came up to him, and he said, "I have to tell you about my Jesus," and started to begin to share the gospel message and what God had done in his life. And then he turned to Todd, and he asked, "Do you know him? Do you know Jesus?" And with tears in his eyes, this widely known evangelist said, "Yes, I know him. Thank you for sharing with me." See, what you don't know is that Todd had never, outside of the church, had the gospel presented to him in that way. Had never in public had someone come and share the good news of Jesus Christ. But this young man was bold enough. Bold enough. Maybe he didn't know it all. Maybe he didn't understand every piece of theology. He probably didn't, because none of us do. But he had the boldness that only can come from the Holy Spirit to share what God had put on his heart. That interaction changed Todd and put a fire in his heart to share and use his gift set to reach the world with the good news. God has designed each and every one of you with a skill set. And he's also put people in front of you. He's put people in front of you to reach. It's not a mistake, the people that God will put in front of you to reach. It's not an accident, the people he'll put in front of you to reach. You're lost children, your lost sons and daughters, your lost cousins, your lost parents, your lost co-workers, they were not put there for no reason. God put them in that place for a reason, and he has given you every tool. Like this young woman who's sitting over here, she knows he has given you every tool. And it's not about your qualifications. He's given you every tool to reach the people in front of you. 1 Timothy 6. Paul's speaking to his friend, the one who he refers to as this, 1 Timothy chapter 1, 6 through 10. Paul is speaking to his friend and whom he refers to as his beloved son. And in this tenderness of heart, but the passion for the call that Timothy has on his life, he says this: "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God who has saved us and called us a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he has gave us in Jesus Christ before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." The boldness we need to share these gifts, these talents, and answer the call will only come through prayer. This boldness to walk out in the calling that God has for us. I want to share with you guys this poem. And if you know me, it's weird that I'm sharing a poem with you. And the reason why I'm sharing it with you is because I felt like Lord placed it on my heart. But I found it on social media. And before you judge me for finding on social media, I see all y'all on social media scrolling all day, okay? So don't judge me. But anyways, I found this poem, and I wanted to share it with you because I thought it was powerful. But before I do, I just ask, would you place your heart in a place to receive? Because we're going to come in a moment, and our altars are going to be open, and our prayer team's going to come pray, and God's going to move in this place. And boldness, the Holy Spirit's boldness is not exempt to anyone. There's no one that can't receive that. So I'd ask, before I read this, would you place that in your hearts this morning? Would you receive that? That God wants to pray, that boldness that the believers had and Acts chapter 4, he wants to download that to you this morning. So here it is. It's called Holes by Scott Lewis. I'd been in that hole for a very long time, in the dark, in the damp, in the cold, and the slime. The shaft was above me. I could see it quite clear, but there's no way I could reach it from here. Nor could I remember the world way up there, so I lost all my hope and I gave in to despair. I knew nothing but darkness, the floors and the walls. Then off in the distance, I heard someone call, "Get up, get ready, there's nothing the matter. Take rocks and old sticks and build up a fine ladder." This had never occurred to me. Had it ever crossed my mind? But I started to stack all the stones I could find. But I ran out of stones. Then the old sticks were my goal. For one way or another, I'd get out of this hole. So I soon had a ladder that was sturdy and tall. But I thought, I'll soon leave this place once and for all. I climbed up my ladder. It was no easy chore. From lifting those boulders, my shoulders were sore. I climbed up the ladder, but soon had to stop. For my ladder stopped short, some 10 feet from the top. I climbed back down my ladder and I started to cry. I'd done all I could, I gave my best try. In spite of my work, in this hole I must die. But all I could do was sit and think why. Was my ladder too short or my hole much too deep? Then way upon high came a voice, "Do not weep." And then faith and hope and love entered into my chest. As a voice said to me, "You've done your very best." He said, "You've worked very hard and your labor's been rough, but the ladder you've built is at last not tall enough. Do not despair. You have a reason to hope. Just climb up your ladder and I'll throw down the rope." I climbed up my ladder, then climbed up the cord. Then at the very top stood the Lord. I couldn't be happier. My struggle was done. I blinked in brightness that came from the sun. I fell to the ground. His feet did I kiss. I cried, "What can I do to repay you for this?" Then he looked all about him. There were holes in the ground. Then he had people inside, and they were seen all around. There were thousands of holes that were dark, damp, and deep. The Lord said to me, "Feed my sheep." Then he went on his way to help other lost souls, and I got right to work calling down to those holes, "Get up, get ready, there's nothing the matter. Take rocks and old sticks and build up a fine ladder. It's my turn now to spread the good word, the glorious message of the most glorious message that man has ever heard. There is one willing to save one and for all, and we've got to be ready when he gives the call. He'll pull us up out of that hole that we're in and save all our souls from death and from sin. So do not lose faith. There is a reason to hope. Just build up a ladder and he'll throw down the rope." Powerful word. He's given you a rope. He's given you a rope. But will you have the boldness to throw it? Will you have the boldness to go into your workplaces and throw the rope? Will you have the boldness to that lost family member to throw the rope? Will you have the boldness to reach the nations for Jesus? Because he's given you the rope. Just imagine the heart of the Father when he hears one of his children ask for boldness to use those gifts for his divine purpose. Did you guys know boldness is contagious? It is. Wonderful thing happens when we act on the miracle that God has given us. Paul describes this phenomenon in Philippians chapter 1, verse 14. "And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Paul's imprisonment didn't lead people to more fear, but actually led to a greater boldness. And that's not normal, because it isn't. It's not from this world. It's only from the Holy Spirit can that happen. Boldness is contagious. Paul was bold. And we can be too. I'm going to invite Ben. I don't know where he's at. Oh, there he is. If you guys don't know Ben, you should. He's an awesome young man. Yeah, he deserves that. Yeah, yeah, give it to him. Ben's going to share a word with us this morning. He's going to be bold in that. So give him one more round of applause if you could.
Okay. Hi, my name is Ben. The passage I'll be speaking from is 1 Samuel 16th and 17th, and the title is Follow God. My main point is there are no requirements to be a follower of God or to be used by him, but he requires our yes. In 1 Samuel 16, we learn about a prophet of the Lord named Samuel who visits the house of Jesse. Samuel went to visit Jesse because the Lord said to him that the presence of the Lord had left Saul, the current king of Israel, and God wanted to choose and bless the next king. Despite Samuel fearing his life, he went out. God gave him a plan to keep him safe, so Samuel goes to anoint the new king. When you think of a king, what do you think of? Maybe powerful, rich, maybe mean, older, good-looking. In 1 Samuel 16 through 7, the Lord tells Samuel what he looks for in a king. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." The Lord doesn't look for what someone's outward appearance is, but looks at the person's heart, their love for God, that they are true followers of him. When Samuel came to Jesse's house, and when he did, he saw seven of Jesse's sons, and he thought to himself that the oldest brother would surely be king, but God corrected him and said that God doesn't look at the outside appearance, but looks at the heart. Brother after brother, God tells that these brothers aren't the next king. 1 Samuel 16, 11 through 13. Then Samuel asked, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse replied, "but he is out in the field watching the sheep and goats." "Send for him at once," Samuel said. "We will not sit down to eat until he arrives." So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, "This is the one. Anoint him." So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of the olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Then Samuel returned to Ramah. Become king, defeated nations, but started as a young shepherd boy that had a good heart. God doesn't look on the outside. He looks on the inside in your heart. Does not matter what your story is. My story is I was 10. I was with my mom. She did drugs. And then I had to go with my aunt. Then she did drugs. My uncle didn't want me, so I went with Idell and Jerry, who showed me who God was. Now I live with the best parents I ever had, Terry and April. So God can use anyone. Like today, God is using me to share his word. Trust God like David when he fought Goliath with the stone and rope. Goliath fell and died because David believes in God to help him fight through. God helped me when my mom and dad left me. My main point is there are no requirements to be a follower of God or to be used by him, but requires our yes. I pray that my message changes your guys' lives and that you guys will know who God is.
Boldness is contagious, isn't it, church? So with that, I want to welcome back up our worship team. We're going to have a response time this morning, and we're going to pray this over each other. Our prayer team is going to get ready to pray this over you guys, but there's a boldness that needs to hit our church this morning. There's a boldness that God wants to release in this church so that he can do a good work outside of these walls. He wants to use us, but we have to be reliant on that. So as our worship team comes back up, and begins to play. I'm going to pray. They're going to play. Sorry. There we go. I'm just excited. God's going to get ready to move. I want to pray for you guys. But then after I pray and I open up these altars, Chad, one of our elders, is going to come pray. And he's going to pray for the boldness of the Holy Spirit to hit this place. And you best get ready because God wants to do something in our church this morning. So, Lord, we just thank you. God, I thank you for this young woman and this young man who have shared these words this morning. God, I thank you that there's a boldness, God, that you have given to every believer. God, that needs to hit our church right now. God, for such a time as this, because God, there are people outside these walls who need you, Jesus. There are people stuck in holes, deep and dark, God, and we have the rope to throw to them. So Jesus, would you come? Would you meet us in this space? In your name, Jesus, thank you. Would you guys come forward now? If that's you, if you could come forward for that call to be prayed over, that boldness over you, would you come right now?
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Father. God, we've received your word this morning, Lord God. And so, Lord, our response to you is yes. God, I thank you that all you're looking for from us, God, you're not looking for us to do these great things, Lord God, in our own strength. You're simply looking for our yes, God. And that is the act of faith. That is that small seed of faith that you're looking for, just our yes, Lord. And so, God, this morning, Lord, we realize that we are broken vessels. We're damaged goods, Lord. We come from with a past. Lord, we have issues. We have fears. We have anxieties, insecurities, Lord God. But with all of that in mind, Lord God, we're just an empty vessel that is filled with this amazing treasure from heaven. God, your word says that you fill us with the Holy Spirit, that we are filled with the God of the universe, that, Lord God, that we're broken vessels, but we're filled, Lord God. And so, God, forgive us for shrinking back because we're looking at the vessel instead of looking at the treasure that's inside the vessel. Forgive us, Lord God, for praying weak prayers, Lord God, where we ask for you to remove the mountain in front of us when you said, say to the mountain, be uprooted and removed into the sea. Lord God, you've told us to do it. God, you're asking us, Lord God, to step out and to speak the word of God over the situation. God, Lord, forgive us for shrinking back, Lord God, and asking you to do what you've called us to do. God, give us boldness. Give us courage, Lord God. Your word says that the fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. God, cause us to put our eyes back onto you, where Peter was out on the waves, Lord God, and he's looking at you as he's walking out of the water, and he takes his eyes off you, and he looks at the waves, he looks at the things around him, and he starts to sink. Cause us, Lord God, to put our eyes back on you, the treasure that fills this earthen vessel, God. Lord, I believe that a lot of times we walk in fear because we have lost our identity. God, where your word says, you have not given us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of sonship where we cry out, Abba, Father. Cause us, Lord God, to put our eyes back on the fact that we are your children and that you love us dearly. And so, God, right now, I believe, Lord God, that as the 120 waited in the upper room for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, God, it was that power that came on them and in them, Lord God, that gave them the boldness to go out and do what you'd called them to do. You never expected them to do, to fulfill the Great Commission without the filling of the Holy Spirit. And so, God, today, this morning, if there are those that are here that have not received that impartation of the Holy Spirit, that empowering, Lord God, right now, Lord God, we ask, Lord, we raise up our hands. In fact, would you just do that? If you want that impartation of the Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would come forward and that you would raise your hands to God and say, God, I want whatever you have, whatever I need to do what you've called me to do, to give you my yes, Lord God, I receive whatever you have. And just open up your hands right now and just ask for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And Lord God, we just ask for more of you, Lord God. You tell us, Lord God, your command is being filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, God, right now we ask, Lord, that you would fill us with that perfect gift, Lord God, that would fill this, that treasure that would fill this earthen vessel, Lord God, that would give us the boldness to do and the courage to do what you've called us to do. Right now we just ask, Holy Spirit, fall on this place, Lord God. Baptize us with fire. Come in this place, Lord God, and fill your church, Lord God. Fill us, Lord God. Anoint us, Lord God. Give us that treasure, Lord God. Fill these vessels, Lord God. We're here, Lord God, giving you our yes. We're here, Lord God, asking for more of you. Would you fill us in this place right now, Lord God, we pray.
'Cause your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name. Every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. there is peace within your presence.
Sing it out.
I speak Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, everybody, for what you're doing. Thank you, God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit for flooding this place today. I ask that we go out and, like the words have been said in the past, can we be lights in dark places? Amen? God bless you and enjoy the rest of your day. May the Lord be walking with you. Thank you, everybody.